was on the Brave New World podcast recently, and while she was talking about getting older...
I think she's 79.
79. Still okay. Looks great.
I don't know what she's been in. I know her name. I can see, like, if you asked me to pick out who Helen Mirren is, if there's, a lineup of old ladies, I'd be able to do that, but I don't know what she's in.
Most recently, I watched her in one of the Yellowstone spinoffs. Okay. She's fabulous. But she brought up on this podcast Kurt Cobain and mentioned how she is sad that he's not alive anymore because he missed out on GPS.
Number one thing that you realize is your great good fortune at getting to be, I'm 79. And you lose people along the way. And I always say, it's so sad that Kurt Cobain died when he did because he never saw GPS. GPS is the most wonderful thing to watch my little blue spot walking down the street. I just find it completely magical and unbelievable.
Okay, what is happening? There's so many things I want to unpack. I did not realize that she was that obsessed with GPS. But also, why is Kurt Cobain the thing that she's most concerned about? Even the reporter or the interviewer is just like, oh, okay, there, Helen. I like the giggle that he gives at one point.
That Kurt Cobain died when he did because he never saw GPS. GPS is the most wonderful thing to watch.
He's like, what do I do here? How do I even follow this question up?
I mean, did we even have MapQuest, though, when Kurt was still alive?
No.
Yeah, he missed out on MapQuest, too.
But here's the strange thing. So you're like, why Kurt Cobain?
Of all the people.
So I Googled to see, well, I originally Googled it because I saw the story. And I'm like, we got to find the audio. We can't just read this quote. Like, that. We need to find the audio. And as I was looking for the audio, apparently Kurt Cobain's been a reference point for her in past years talking about technology for some reason. Like, she's weirdly obsessed with Kurt Cobain. Back in 2015, she was doing an interview with Cosmopolitan. She said, I was thinking about Kurt Cobain the other day, and he died without knowing the internet. And I was totally blown away by that. Then in 2016, she was being interviewed by the Daily Mail, and she said, if I died at 27, the age that Kurt Cobain died in 1994, I'd never even know that there was an internet. Incredible things are happening all the time, and I can't just wait. I can't wait to see what happens next. GPS.
So is she just the biggest Nirvana fan ever?
I don't know. This is all new to me, and apparently it's been going on for a while. So, you know, my stupid brain now starts thinking, well, what would happen if Kurt was around? Would he sing a song about GPS?
Oh, boy.
Oh, and so I took her little interview, like the quote, and I plugged it into artificial intelligence and said, can you write a Nirvana-inspired song with this quote? And it did.
Of course it did.
And I don't know if it's really a Nirvana song, if it's just a grunge song, but you know what? Would you like to hear what it would sound like if Kurt wrote a song about GPS, yeah, thanks to the robots?
I don't think I have a choice, Steve.
I am a big fan of GPS. Get lost in the street and think, oh, yes, GPS is the most wonderful thing. Watch a little blue spot walking down the street. The street, hey, yeah, GPS is completely magical.
I say we send this to Helen Mirren and just have her mind blown. Like, Kurt wrote this for you in the afterlife.
Oh my gosh. She might believe you at her advanced age.
Advanced age.
Okay, we're good.
Also, why does all of the AI songs you write, like, have like a pop punk undertone?
I didn't write this. I just said, write a Nirvana-inspired song based on this interview.
Danny, you need to take it up with the robots.
I'm just saying, it's like, because that did not sound grunge to me at all.
You know, beggars can't be choosers.
Rockaholics, the Seahawks are taking on the Bills at Lumen Field this Sunday, and we get to chat with wide receiver Jake Bobo at 7:20.
The Daily Migs Show.
Rockaholics, our Seattle Seahawks are coming off of an amazing win last week versus the Falcons in Atlanta. And this morning, we are so excited to be joined by Jake Bobo, wide receiver number 19. Good morning, Jake.
Man, how's it going? Thanks for having me on, guys.
Dude, how are you doing, man? This has been an awesome start to the season. Obviously, it was a little bit of adversity, but man, what a bounce back.
Big bounce back for the team. Obviously, We were on a three-game skid, and then to go down to Atlanta and get a win at their house was big for us.
This might be a strange question, but who helps keep everybody's head on straight? Is it Coach McDonald? Is it like Geno Smith? Like, when you're dealing with that kind of adversity, like, how do you keep in good spirits at practice and just, you know, to come out the way you guys came out against Atlanta, you guys came out swinging.
Yeah, it's a group effort, to be honest with you. Obviously, Geno plays a big role in that, but all the vets. You know, you talk about guys like Geno, Lake, and Tomlinson on the offensive side, DK, Locke, and all those guys, and then, you know, Coach McDonald, Coach Grubb, and those guys on the staff do a good job. But, I mean, to be honest with you guys, we're a pretty even-keeled team, and that's what's fun about this squad is we're never too high, never too low, and so we knew we were going to come out and had a chance to get a win against Atlanta, and went over there and did that.
We're talking with Jake Bobo of Our Seattle Seahawks, and I have a question. This might be a silly question, but let's say hypothetically you were going to be in a buddy cop movie with one member of Our Seattle Seahawks. Who would your buddy cop be?
That is a great question. Riley, I'm close with the receivers, obviously, so I'm taking either Tyler Lockett or Jackson. Either one of those two guys. I feel like I could play a role off pretty well with either of those two.
But if you need somebody to beat everybody down, I feel like DK might be the guy.
That's true. That's a good point, too. That's a really, really good point, too.
This is
you never know.
This is a question just out of pure curiosity, because earlier this week we found out that the Seahawks traded to get linebacker Ernest Jones IV from the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you guys find out about a trade? Do you find out when we do on social media, or is there like a group text? Like, I've always wondered, like, how do players find out during the season? Because obviously you're all doing a million things. Do they call like a group meeting?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it worked out pretty well because we have we've got a team meeting Wednesday mornings. And so it just so happened that I think that team meeting was right after the trade was made. And so, Coach McDonald made an announcement in front of the team, and obviously a bunch of us knew him due to his time with the Rams. So we played him a little bit last year, and you know we're excited to have him on board, excited to see what he can do for this team and defense.
Speaking of excitement, did you ever anticipate the city of Seattle just falling in love with you as much? I mean, we had the hashtag more Bobo. I mean, anytime they show you on the screen, you get a reaction from the fans. When I was at the game, I mean, you've become like a cult figure in this town. It's got to be awesome for you.
Oh, it's so cool. It's so cool. I'm so, you know, thankful to you guys. Thankful for the, you know, the 12 community as a whole, just for kind of embracing me and my personality. And hopefully we can keep getting wins for you guys.
And Jake, you've got your own merch now. You have more Bobo merch. You've got the Jake Bobo logo. Tell us about how that all came together.
Well, you know, like you guys just touched on, when you get some encouragement and a little bit of a following from the city of Seattle, you feel like you might have to take advantage of that. And so that's what, you know, me and my agency team did. We put a couple products out there, and to be honest with you, I thought maybe my mom, my grandma would buy a few T-shirts, but that'd be pretty much it. But it's been going pretty well so far, so thank you guys.
I've got another really silly question. We saw recently the Bro Bible put out this story about NFL quarterbacks that people would most want to have a beer with, and Baker Mayfield was number one, Kirk Cousins was number two. My buddy Steve said that he would want Geno Smith, and I would want Gardner Minshew. Who would you most like to share a beer with from the world of quarterbacks?
Well, it's G is the far and away number one for me, just because we've got a relationship with him, and he's a great guy, great leader. Obviously, as you guys know, a great quarterback as well. So he's number one for sure. I definitely grab a couple beers with that guy. But other than that, man, I don't know. I'm not too familiar with a lot of guys off the field around the NFL. I played with Daniel Jones in New York in college.
Nice.
And so we've actually had our fair share of beers together, so I can go back to that one.
All right, I have one last thing. I want to switch to movies for a second, because I saw you in an interview and you said that Will Ferrell is your favorite actor.
Yep.
All right, here's the question for you. You're putting together a Mount Rushmore of Will Ferrell movies. What are you putting on that list? I want to see how close you and I are.
Yeah, okay, so number one is Old School. I'd say he has a pretty main role in that movie.
Hell yeah, Frank the Tank.
Yeah. So Old School is number one for me. We got Step Brothers. It's probably number two. I'm blanking on the name, but there's him and is it Danny McBride? Have a movie about something about dinosaurs, and that I'm blanking on the title.
Oh, Land of the Lost. Is it
Land of the Lost?
Right.
Oh my gosh, I love that movie. I mean, those are my top three. I'd probably go with. What's the one when him? If we're being more recent, him and Kevin Hart.
Is that's not
Get Hard?
Get Hard.
Get Hard. Oh, Get Hard. Yes.
Hard. Yes, that's a good one. Yes, Get Hard.
I'm impressed that you didn't throw Elf or Anchorman in there. I love that you went with some deep cuts.
Those are great movies. I think they've you know, they're, I don't want to say they're overplayed, but I've seen those movies a lot of times, and so, you know, once you kind of, they run its course, you got to move on.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Man, no, I'm with you on all the ones that you picked. That's fantastic.
We've been chatting with Jake Bobo, wide receiver for the Seahawks, and I've got a silly Halloween question for you. Halloween is obviously next week. What would you say is the GOAT of all Halloween candies?
Okay, listen, I'm going to take some heat for this one. I mean, I'm a big Butterfinger guy.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
If we're going Halloween candy, just for nostalgia's sake, I'm going to throw candy corn out there. And I know that's not necessarily a popular pick, but...
Jake, I was having a lot of fun until right now.
I had a feeling I might get that response, yeah.
Hey, have you ever had Butterfinger on your Menchie's?
No, I haven't.
Oh, they offer that as a topping, man. It's a game changer.
Huh. All right. I'm on it. Let me write that down.
Jake Bobo, big congrats on the win versus the Falcons last weekend. And we're so excited that the Seahawks are back home at Lumen Field on Sunday versus the Buffalo Bills. What do you think it's going to take to secure a victory on Sunday?
The same thing it took last Sunday. I mean, you got to do the same thing every week to win games in this league on a consistent level. And obviously that's a really good team coming in here. So we're going to have to score a lot of points on offense and play well on defense. And then obviously the battle of special teams is often overlooked, but it's something that, you know, Coach McDonald and Coach Harbaugh take real seriously, and they should. So we got to win that phase as well. You win all three, you win the game. So that's kind of what we're focusing on right now.
Jake, it's been a pleasure getting to chat with you, man. And it's just been awesome to see how much love you've been getting over the last couple of seasons. And I can't wait to watch it continue to happen this whole season.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
More Bobo.
More Bobo. All
right.
And no candy corn.
Just a little.
Okay, fine.
All right, thanks, Jake.
Take care, Jake.
See you, bye.
I honestly thought I was the only person that liked the movie Land of the Lost. It's got like 20-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes. When he said that, I was a little confused. I was like, oh my gosh, I found somebody who also likes that movie.
Now you need to get the Bobo jersey.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Add to your collection.
I'm going to go broke if we keep buying jerseys for all the players that we talk to.
Steve Miggs, do you consider yourself to be a forgiving person?
If you get me a Seahawks jersey with Jake Bobo, I'll forgive you for anything.
How would you handle an old friend apologizing for something they did decades ago? A celebrity used his podcast as a way to apologize to a former co-star for something that he did, and you're going to hear all about it after Jet.
The Daily Mix Show.
On the Where Everybody Knows Your Name podcast, Ted Danson reflected on a long-standing memory with Kelsey Grammer from their Cheers days. And he expressed some big regret over a past disagreement that they had and then ended up apologizing for it.
I feel like I got stuck a little bit with you during the Cheers years. I have a memory of getting angry at you once.
Yeah, you came and told me that one day.
And
that was good.
Stuck in both of our memories. Yeah, yeah. But I feel...
Sorry, Kelsey's kind of like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm aware of this. Where are we going with this, buddy? Come on, give it to me.
But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I missed out on the last 30 years of Kelsey Grammer. And I feel like it's my bad, my doing. And I almost feel like apologizing to you. I know I don't.
I almost feel like I want to apologize. This is such a strange conversation. I don't know if anyone else feels that way. But it just seems to me really odd that they're doing this also on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, if you really felt that bad, I'm sure you could got his number. Or before you start the podcast, be like, hey, Kelsey, we just need to have a quick talk.
Before we turn the mics on.
Right. This is so strange to me.
My doing. And I almost feel like apologizing to you. No, I don't feel like. I apologize.
Thank you.
To you and me.
I wish we'd spend some more time.
That I sat back, you know, and didn't. And I really do apologize.
Thanks. I don't think he even remembered exactly what he was apologizing for. He's just like, I know I pissed you off back in the day and I was mad at you, but sorry, I guess.
Yeah. Do you know who's not as forgiving?
Who?
Stevie Nicks. So Stevie Nicks had a recent interview with Rolling Stone where she shared some of her thoughts about her former boyfriend and Fleetwood Mac bandmate, Lindsey Buckingham. And she said that even the tragic passing of Christine McVie could not bring them to be okay with each other.
Usually a lot of times when someone passes away, that's the moment when, or some kind of tragedy. I think about even like Blink 182, when like, you know, they went through cancer scares. Travis nearly died in a plane thing. Tom was probed by an alien. There were a lot of tragic moments that happened with that band. So finally, they're like, look, and also I think their producer from back in the day died.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like, life's too short. We need to bury the hatchet. So that did not inspire Stevie Nicks at all. But they were in a relationship together.
They were. Okay. There's a Fleetwood Mac song that she wrote about, like, the betrayal and everything called Silver Springs. And it is, like, intense. And if you ever watched them perform it live back in the day, she's, like, hate singing to him.
I love that.
And he's hate singing back. And it is, like, you could just cut the tension with a knife. But it is an amazing song.
I always wonder about that in those moments where, like, an artist is, like, you're singing about me and we have to do an entire tour. Because I think about No Doubt.
Oh, of course.
The bassist, Tony.
Yeah.
He was the inspiration of their biggest hit, Don't Speak, by No Doubt, because he was dating Gwen Stefani before they became a big band. And I'm like, man, your entire career, your nice house, your the fact that your entire family's probably set for life.
Oh, yeah.
The life journeys that you've been on with this band is all because you broke this girl's heart.
Want to know another wild thing about that song, that Silver Spring song by that Stevie Nicks wrote? It was supposed to be on Rumors, which ended up being like one of the biggest albums of all time. And she was going to promise the royalties from that song to her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lindsey Buckingham said, this song is too painful. And he wouldn't let them put it on that album.
Wow.
So, yeah, so she's got a lot of resentment for that as well. So, they did release the song on like way, way, way later. Like, I think decades later. But, yeah, it's wild.
That's pretty crazy.
Don't make Stevie mad.
And so there's no chance of them ever getting back together.
It doesn't sound like...
Not as a relationship, but as a band, obviously.
And I don't even think they're going to be able to forge a friendship after all that, so...
Would you be annoyed, though, to go back to the Ted Danson thing, would you be annoyed that you've had a 30-year issue, and you're Kelsey Grammer, and you're like, this sucks. Like, when are you going to apologize for this? And then he finally does 30 years later, and on a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't be bothered at all by that?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, at that point, at least he thought to do it. And maybe that's the only way they could get together is like, hey, do you want to come and record a podcast with me?
See, I think I'd be annoyed because it's just the timing of it all is very strange. It seems like you want to do it because people are watching and listening.
Well, I guess maybe.
Yeah, I'd be like, you could have done this before we started the interview, you dumbass. And I'd be more mad at him.
I do have an apology this morning, though. Steve Miggs, I'm sorry that we did not properly celebrate your 300th win during Beat Miggs with actual confetti cannons.
We had Cool in the Gang. That was good enough. If you missed it, they stopped in studio and played Celebrate. It was bonkers.
So congratulations on your 300th win this morning.
Thank you.
You also have 90 losses and 52 ties in 2024. And right now we need someone to call to take you down. 206-803-ROCK. We will play Beat Miggs at 750.
Yes, the Daily Miggs Show.